Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is June 23rd, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our history of trading videos on johnlothiannews.com on the MarketsWiki Education page, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. I need some help finding a summer internship for a young woman who is attending the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, studying advertising and informatics. She is also the sister of David Cook, the Eagle Scout who was recently hired by the Nodal Exchange after I asked for help from readers for him in his job search. Elizabeth Cook is David's younger sister, who has experience as a researcher and strategist for advertising campaigns using Qualtrics and Google Sheets, Excel, to look at data. She has strong interest in understanding how and why people think the way they do. Outside the classroom, she's a swimmer, cyclist, and runner who competes in triathlons. She also enjoys living up to her name, Cook, and enjoys cooking bread and new recipes. She is a musician and a music fan who may just be a Swiftie. If you have interest in talking to Elizabeth, mail me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com and I will put you in contact. FIA posted to LinkedIn a series of pictures from the IDX Gala that show former Kilt Challenge participants on stage, along with this year's Kilt Challenge participant, Robert Bouge. There is also a picture of Robert passing the sporran to SGX's Rama Pillay, who accepted the challenge for 2024. Robert told me he suggested a mountain climbing element for Rama for the 2024 challenge called the Kilimanjaro Challenge. Here is something different. The Wall Street Journal has a story titled "An IPO for a Painting." This $55 million masterpiece is going public with the subheading, "A portrait by British painter Francis Bacon will be publicly listed this summer, even as rising interest rates blur the case for investing in art." According to the story, shares in the portrait will be sold for around $100 apiece and will list on a specially created art stock exchange based in Liechtenstein, giving regular investors the ability to buy and sell shares in a famous artwork on a stock exchange for the first time. Also, another angle is this. The first publicly listed artwork also raises the tantalizing possibility of a takeover of the Bacon portrait. If a billionaire collector or museum wants to swoop in with a bid, they must offer a 20% premium to the average closing price of the shares over the previous 20 trading days, according to rules set by Artex. A rival bidder can then step in and offer even more, though unlike a typical corporate takeover, shareholders don't get to vote on whether to accept the offer. And if you're into trading cards rather than art, you might be interested in the bidding war in the Enchanted Golden Ring trading card from J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings trilogy, the Wall Street Journal reports. A trading card depicting it has launched a multi-million dollar bidding war. CME Group CEO Terry Duffy was recently on CNBC on the Closing Bell broadcast and said companies need to be vigilant about managing risk. He joined to discuss recent comments from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell and navigating market uncertainty. Here is the SEC case in the matter of JP Morgan Securities LLC responded. order instituting administrative and cease and desist proceedings pursuant to Section 15B and 21C of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934, making findings and imposing remedial sanctions and a cease and desist order. This has to do with the deletion by J.P. Morgan of approximately 47 million electronic communications in about 8,700 electronic mailboxes relating to the period January 1 through April 23, 2028. Reuters has a story about this titled, J.P. Morgan Chase is fined by SEC after mistakenly deleting 47 million emails. The Bloomberg Odlots podcast with Tracy Alloway and Joe Weisenthal takes a look at the old days. The title of the episode is This is How Finance and Banking Worked Before Computers, with a subheading of A Journey Back in Time. There is a problem in Europe of too much wine because of high food prices and a strong 2022 harvest that is leaving lots of wine around, and the European Commission working on ways to curb the glut, Bloomberg reported. Sounds like a job for lower prices. If you like auctions of movie memorabilia, you can bid on Princess Leia's dress from Star Wars, among other interesting items, the Wall Street Journal reports. STA Women in Finance congratulated Gina King of LPL Financial on being elected president of Carolina STA. King is currently an equity trader with LPL Financial. She has 30 years' experience in equity trading and sales. She began her career in New York with Furman Sells as a clerk on the NYSE and then joined the Interstate in Charlotte, North Carolina in 1996 as an institutional equity sales trader, spending 25 years there. She has been involved with the Carolina Securities Traders Association since 1997. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First, a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Billionaire Hedge Fund Managers Go Hollywood in Dumb Money. The film takes us inside the GameStop saga when retail traders brutally squeezed Gabe Plotkin's hedge fund and briefly captured the zeitgeist. If you were to ask Steve Cohen how he'd be immortalized by Hollywood, it would probably be sitting in front of Damien Hirst's shark in formaldehyde tank, thinking up ways to make money and slamming his rivals. That's what's happening in a script for Dumb Money, a comedy slated for a September release based on Ben Mizrich's book about the GameStop Corp saga. Law & Order's Vincent D'Onofrio plays Cohen, who, alongside Ken Griffin, infused Gabe Plotkin's Melvin Kaplan with billions after retail traders brutally squeezed his short position. My comment. The question remains, who was the dumb money? Here's another story from Bloomberg. It's summer and London's top-end property market is sinking. Agents brace for what our columnist says may be biblical years of lean after the ones of plenty. A glimpse inside the world of selling high-end London homes. May and June are traditionally the busiest times of the year in the London prime property market. The weather makes everyone just a little more optimistic. The longer days, sunshine, gardens at their best, parks pulsating with people, the Chelsea Flower Market, Wimbledon, Ascot, all help to attract wealthy tourists, some of whom conclude their own place would beat the usual suite at Claridge's. My comment. For you Chicago Cub fans who fall in love with London, it might be the right time to make a lowball bid on a nice high-end London home. Here's a story from The Guardian. The headline, with help we might survive. Kiev sees sharp rise in homeless people. Since Russia's invasion, there are so many people on the streets that volunteers offering food and other help can't keep up with demand. Vadim and Alona have nowhere to shelter but under the branches of a horse chestnut tree in the park. Blooming with pinkish-white flowers, the trees have been a symbol of the Ukrainian capital since Soviet times. during a recent barrage that was particularly heavy. They cradled each other for comfort as streaks of glowing tracer fire chased missiles through the sky above them. "That was the most afraid we've been," said Vadim. My comment: this is not just a military problem, but a humanitarian one, as Tom Lantz's efforts remind us. Find a way to help. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Ode's downfall shows how far women have to go in City of London. Women in UK's financial industry don't see the hedge fund manager's ouster from the company he co-founded as a Weinstein moment. Revelations of predatory acts by media mogul Harvey Weinstein helped jumpstart a global reckoning for rich and powerful men. Few expect the downfall of hedge fund manager Crispin Ode to provoke a similar watershed in the City of London. Ode losing his position isn't going to change behavior, said Zelda Perkins, a British former assistant to Weinstein, who broke her non-disclosure agreement in 2017 to speak out against him. What has to change is the system. My comment: I don't know what to say, except life is not static and you need to keep moving to get wherever it is that you need or want to go. Here's the top three stories from Thursday. Our top clicked item Thursday was a selfie Walt Lucan took at the IDX conference gala dinner with Jeremy Grant, Robbie Lothian, U.S., Nicole Price in the background. Second was the Walt Lucan selfie of Walt's table with Robert Booge, Jeremy Grant, Emma Davey, Pat Kenny, and other eminences. Third was our Markets Wiki page for Walt Lucan. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline: Why Wall Street's Climate Efforts Are Failing. A new report assails the galaxy of finance industry pledges, groups, and models as nowhere near enough to make a dent in global warming. Over the last few years, an ecosystem of climate pledges, groups, and models has expanded on Wall Street in a bid to cut or appear to cut the financial industry's role in global warming. But many of those efforts have had a limited impact on thwarting the damage inflicted by climate change, according to researchers at Columbia University. And at the same time, Wall Street spends hundreds of millions of dollars each year to block measures that could help. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Crypto traders are betting on Asia as a haven after U.S. crackdown, trading in Asian hours rising while Europe, U.S. volumes slump, Gemini Binance among exchanges expanding operations in Asia. Asia is fast becoming the new center of gravity for cryptocurrency markets, as U.S. regulators sued three major crypto exchanges this year. Billions of dollars of trading volumes have migrated to Asia. That shift could be poised to accelerate as market makers and exchanges moved resources to a region where several jurisdictions have introduced regulatory frameworks and are vying for digital asset traders. And then finally, another story from Bloomberg. The headline: Powell says Wall Street faces higher capital requirements. Fed chair says increases will be very skewed to big firms. For large players, requirements could rise by 20%, he said. Wall Street's biggest banks will bear the brunt of U.S. regulators' moves to raise capital requirements for lenders, according to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. The largest lenders could face an increase of about 20% in what they have to set aside, Powell told members of the Senate Banking Committee on Thursday. He added that details were still in flux and specifics could change. The KW Bank Index slid during the hearing and was down 1.9% at 12 p.m. in New York. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the Daily John Lothian Newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.